Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking cheating charities, sketchy retailer tactics, and starving to save.
Hey man, starving to save. I don't think that's going to be too clickbaity of a title. This is truly something we are going to talk about. This is a story.
We're going to respond to kind of a clickbait headline we saw this week.
Yeah, and obviously starving to save money. That's not something that we're gonna recommend. But we'll get to all of these stories. This is our Friday flight specifically. We're covering the different headlines that we've come across this week, the ones that we think you need to pay attention to the most. But Joel, this has been the second full week now that our newsletter, that the How to Money newsletter, has been over on our new platform, which includes the ability to track referrals. Mm-hmm. What that means is that anytime you refer the email to a friend and they sign up, you accrue points. And with those points, you can unlock different rewards, essentially. And our first level is 3 referrals, and that gets you a shout out on the Friday flight. And so we wanted to mention Mr. S's Math of Finance class, him as well as Elijah O. Both referred 3 different friends to the How to Money newsletter. Yeah. So we are incredibly thankful for y'all. This is one of the ways that our newsletter is going to be able to grow and to continue to improve.
Yeah. And I think the newsletter, again, it's free. It hits your inbox every single Tuesday morning. And hopefully it's lighthearted, fun, funny, and with a lot of chock full of information at the same time. That's the goal. And it's again, like we love doing the podcast. It's our favorite thing. Like we love long form audio. It's such a great medium, but people like to...
There's a lot more nuance that you can get out of spoken word.
And people like to learn about money in all sorts of different ways. And some people prefer to read. And so if you're one of those people, or you know one of those people, sign up for the newsletter and let them know. And you can win stuff by referring. We have our first person got to the free How to Money sock threshold this week. So
he blitzed it.
Yeah, he referred basically everyone he knows, I think. So that's shout out to Brendan for that one. But all right, let's move on, Matt. Let's get to the Friday flight, the sampling of stories we found interesting this week. And just quickly, I wanted to touch on taxes for just a second, because the IRS announced that relief payments that were issued by a whole bunch of states are not going to be taxed. That was to the relief of a whole lot of people. I saw folks in our Facebook group, especially folks in California, being like, this is going to save me a decent chunk of money in taxes, mm-hmm. which is cool. So if you live in one of the 16 states that issued a direct relief payment to you or to someone that you know, you're not going to owe any tax on it. So for some folks, that could mean $150 or even more that you get to keep in your pocket. So that's worth noting. And the IRS had told some folks, hey, hold off on filing your taxes until we make a clarification on this, until we figure that out. So if you were waiting to file your taxes based on this IRS announcement, now you got the go ahead. You're clear to file your taxes.
That's right. Yeah. And a lot of folks might remember that these payments came last fall, but this in large part was due to like excess surplus taxes that states had collected. Did you get your Costco rewards?
Oh, yeah.
Your annual thing? So that that showed up this past week. Kind of makes me think of that, where it's you kind of forget about it, but it was this nice way for some states to give back some of the money that they had collected, that they chose to give back to you. But since we're talking about taxes, we wanted to mention that you might want to take advantage of the tax benefits of making some home updates this year, some home improvements. We talked about the possibility of this becoming a reality, but the Inflation Reduction Act, it passed, and now you can make a variety of energy-efficient updates to your home for less money.
Yeah, we talked about this when it was vaporware, right, towards the end of last year, but now that it's a real thing, like...
It's just a speculation before, now it's actual law. Some folks have actually called these new benefits that came out in that IRA bill last year like a free bank account that we should all be taking advantage of. Granted, this money is still that you have to spend, so it's not like there's just cash just sitting there waiting on you. It's sort of like coming across a good sale. If you don't need to do this, well, don't go out and spend the money to get that money.
Yeah.
But if you were planning to make some of these improvements anyway, there's absolutely some incentives to help you out.
Sure. Well, I will say, even if you weren't thinking about it, you might want to consider it because it's not just that you're spending money. You're spending money to save money with some of these improvements you can make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a good way to think about it. And for example, you can save up to $1,600 on the cost of putting insulation in your home. And obviously doing that will save you money every single month on utility bills moving forward, especially in the winter. There's actually this calculator that we'll link to that can help you to easily make sense of the different tax incentives that you might qualify for. But we at least wanted you to be aware that these tax credits, that these rebates are, that they exist.
Yeah,
they're out there for you.
Yeah,
go and get them.
Like, there's ones for new electric vehicles. There's rebates for used buying a used electric vehicle now, which is cool
too. For installing chargers, for heat pumps,
all sorts of things.
Induction stoves, which I'm like, all right, you know,
inductions are nice.
They are. Well, we've got the glass top, and it works all right. But I'm trying to figure out if they make a standalone induction oven that's big enough for Kate's 15-inch cast iron.
Oh, good luck.
I know that's the problem. Is I don't. If anybody's listening and you have seen this standalone slide-in range, let me know because we would, I would jump all over that. And there's a pretty huge
especially now,
rebate.
It's like up to $850 for an induction stove.
It's massive,
like that,
exactly.
Yeah. And this is the federal government's not picking up the full freight; they're picking up a percentage, and there's like a cap each year. But this is so much more generous than it was in years past. And so, we'll link to that calculator into that site where you can like learn more about it. But it should be on your radar if you're making improvements anyway. Boom, you can get some of them at least paid for in part by the federal government. And if you hadn't thought about it, but you're like, my house is leaky like a sieve, it might make sense to do some of these energy efficient updates that are going to be cheaper and then are going to save you money for years to come. But let's keep talking about taxes for a second, Matt, because home values have risen, of course, substantially in the past few years. And even with like a little bit of a lull there towards the end of last year, but that comes along with higher property tax bills for anybody who owns a home.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. It's like, oh, great. Home equity. Look at all this home equity I'm sitting on. And then it's like, at the other time, it's like, now the government wants
might have
cut.
To cash out some of that equity in order to pay the property tax bill.
Maybe we'll talk about that last week. I just saw something today about that. So maybe next week's Friday Flight, we'll touch on home equity for a bit. But the thing is, the tax bill you receive in the mail might or might not be accurate, right? So that's something to look out for. Let's talk about how you can contest that bill if it's too inflated. The key is to take a look at sales and comps in your area and to file an appeal if the valuation that the government has given for your property is out of line, out of step, basically, with what you're seeing around you. It might be worth asking a local realtor if they think the valuation is correct or not. This is 100% something you can DIY if you want to, by the way. But remember, you're not complaining about how high taxes are. You're complaining, or not complaining, you're contesting an incorrect evaluation. I think sometimes people do that and they're like, but the taxes are just too expensive. And it's like, that's, you can't contest it along those lines.
That's not a good argument.
Yes.
Like basically, like, I mean, truly what you have to do, so if you are going to take the DIY approach, is like when you look at those different comps, like essentially what you have to do is figure out the price per square foot.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes it is purely based on square footage.
For homes in a similar area, similar kind of state as yours, right?
Exactly. So yeah, you got to get that information together. You got to be armed with that data in order to present a good case.
And ideally, you want like three different homes that are close by that sold in the vicinity of what you're looking at, like to point to, hey, here's this aggregation of a few that I think fit the bill. And you value those less than mine, so mine should be valued at this level too. And I've actually, some folks, myself included, Matt, have even hired a lawyer who specializes in making these appeals. That I paid him $250, and it was well worth the money, I will say, for the tax savings I was able to get.
I tried to hire somebody, but they're like, no, your assessment's accurate. Like, dang it.
Hey, at least he told you that up front before spending the money, right?
That's true.
But especially in Georgia, the lower valuation gets locked in for 3 years when you win an appeal. So I was like, all right, $250 is well worth it. Let him handle these. And he did two of mine last year, and he got meaningful reductions, and those are locked in for a few years. And so, yeah, just note to you, if you get that valuation in the mail and you're like, this feels high, well, first off, it might not be. But second off, it might be. And if it is, then you need to do your due diligence to figure out how off it is so you can contest that valuation.
Yeah. It seems high. Well, that's probably accurate because, again, we saw rising values. But this seems crazy high. Yeah. Then, okay, maybe it's worth looking into. And also, speaking of taxes, don't forget to file for homestead exemption. You and I did recently, having moved up to our new hood last summer. But that alone is going to be able to knock a big chunk off of your property tax. Mm. But let's shift gears and talk about investing, Joel, because like when it comes to investing, hindsight's 20/20, right? And it's abundantly clear that we went through a period of significant investor speculation. The run-up of 2020, I think, caused a lot of that behavior, right? Like that day trading, meme stonks, crypto, they were seemingly all anyone out there was talking about. And when everyday folks are that interested in investing, it's probably not a good thing.
When you get like a taxi or an Uber and they're like talking about how they're making money investments, you're like, wait a second. No, nobody's talking like this.
They got the Dow Jones pulled up on one phone while the other one shows the route for where you're supposed to go.
Something is wrong. Something's not computing.
The boring route, that's actually certainly less fun to talk about around the water cooler than all of the excitement that we've experienced over the past few years. Well, eToro, they released some interesting stats showing that the average person is holding on to stocks for much shorter periods of time. And not just a little bit less time. The average holding period for U.S. stocks was 10 months in 2022, last year. And that is down from more than 5 years in the mid-70s, which is crazy. So a dramatic difference there. And so while we're seeing less of the intense speculation that we've seen over the past few years, short-term thinking is still a problem. And just buying stocks to own them for less than a year is too risky of a proposition. And it demonstrates that you basically don't have an overarching investing plan and that you are just buying whatever it is that you hear folks talking about.
What's the thing that's hot in the moment? Let me jump on that train and see what happens. And a lot of people end up being burned when they do that. So if you're only going to own something for 10 months, then you shouldn't be buying it in the first place, unless you have some sort of brilliant information that the rest of us don't have access to. And Matt, you and I, we're long-term investors over here, and
we want
How to Money listeners to adopt the same mindset, because making money in the stock market isn't terribly easy. But it's incredibly simple. It's all about keeping costs low and holding those assets for a long period of time. That's how you win and grow wealth. And so trading frequently kind of screws you on both accounts. You're going to rack up higher fees. You're going to shrink your timeline in one fell swoop. And so make sure you know what game you're playing as an investor, Matt. Like you said, make sure you have a plan in place. Our suggestion, as always, is to play the long game, because you're bound to win if you do. If you keep the costs low and you play for decades as opposed to months, that timeline is everything, and it basically assures, it's like wind at your back, and it ensures that you're going to build wealth instead of losing it by trying to play kind of the short-term game that lots of other folks on Twitter and Wall Street Bets are trying to do.
Different Reddit forums. Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I think the other disadvantage to jumping in and out of the market as well is that you are demonstrating that you don't have a plan, which means that you're likely going to be more susceptible to other strategies that may not be in your best interest. And it just makes me think that folks who are essentially chasing after those returns, chasing after different strategies, you said they're like they're going to be screwed in two ways. Like the third way that they're going to be messed over as well is the fact that they're basing their short-term purchases based on short-term success, which it looks a lot like trying to drive while looking in the rearview mirror, right?
Yeah.
And so essentially what you are doing is you are buying at the exact wrong time. Not only is it not necessarily proven to be successful, but I think you're honestly at a disadvantage. Like, it makes me think of, so in 2020, that's when Cathie Wood's ETF blew up. Incredible returns.
Which was all focused on tech-heavy stocks.
All the tech stuff, exactly.
She owned a bunch of Tesla,
ARK
like
ETF.
That.
But if you were like, oh man, she's totally crushing it, so let me get some of that. And if you happen to buy in at the end of 2020 or beginning of 2021, you would be down something like 70% today, as opposed to seeing that annual rate of return that she got in 2020 that was in the hundreds of percent.
You've already missed out on
exactly. And you are, again, you're just buying at the exact wrong time.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want to see anybody do.
Yeah. And that is true. You're right. Like, if you've got the short-term mindset, oftentimes you're a little late to the party and you end up being the one kind of holding the bag, right?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Let's talk about something else, Matt. And we don't talk about Starbucks much on this show, but
I'm drinking a coffee right now.
You're drinking a coffee.
But not the Starbucks.
Homemade variety. But I would say don't forget to make a plan to spend miles and rewards. And specifically because of what we saw Starbucks do this week. Like we talked about, though, with the points guy, Matt, points are getting devalued on the reg. And so when you have airline miles or something like that, holding on to them in hopes of using them years down the road is silly because they're going to get devalued. They're going to become less valuable pretty quickly. But Starbucks is doing the same thing with its rewards program, devaluing rewards for tens of millions of customers, meaning you'll need to spend more money to earn free drinks moving forward. And so, yeah, you might want to rethink that daily Starbucks habit for multiple reasons. But one of the main reasons is because now those little stars that they give you every time you buy something, well, I forget, like the breakfast sandwiches are going to cost a whole lot more. And that coffee now, the Frappuccino or whatever it is that you're going to get, instead of costing, I don't know the tiers, but instead of costing 50 stars, now it costs 100 stars.
Yeah, pastries went from 50 to 100.
Yeah.
Pretty big leap.
Yeah. So it just means like you thought your stars were worth something and boom, they just got devalued overnight. And I'm not saying that you should never, ever go to Starbucks, but like with any rewards program, the terms are subject to change and the rewards might not be as generous moving forward. And yeah, Starbucks just told their customers, hey, sorry about those stars you accumulated, but they're not worth as much anymore.
Worth a whole lot less. Yeah. Don't forget to, you said Starbucks card made me think of different gift cards that folks may have received over the holidays. Don't forget to spend those. Personally, I've got over $200 sitting on a Home Depot card for a return that I made. Actually, so I didn't have the receipt and they actually did we talk about this on the show?
No.
They did a really good job accepting that item, but they're just like, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to put it back on the card. We're going to give it to you as store credit. So I'm like, sweet, that's totally fine. I spend a lot of money at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Definitely not going to be a problem with upcoming landscaping projects that we've got planned for this spring. But if you do find it difficult to remember what cards you have, stick that card in your wallet, right? Like, put it front and center. That way it's top of mind. That way you know, we just don't want you to lose out on the funds on those different cards. We want you to be able to take advantage of some of those dollars, some of that value that has already been purchased.
Yeah. Use your gift cards, use your rewards, use your miles, like use them up. I know you want to hang on to them because especially like as people who are savers and frugal and stuff, you want to hold on to those things and it feels good to amass like a certain amount of rewards and stuff like that. But
not if you forget about it, though.
Yeah. And, or not if you forget about them or not if they become worthless over time.
So, exactly.
All right. Let's get to, we got more to cover on the Friday flight, Matt, including that starving to save story. It was an article from the Wall Street Journal that we'll talk about. We'll get to that and more right after this. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus 5-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
All right, we're going to get to our ludicrous headline of the week. And I was just thinking maybe we should have clarified earlier that when you said cheating charities, we're not talking about
how... We don't have to clarify it at the beginning. We're going to clarify it here.
We're going to do it now. We're not talking about you as an individual cheating the charities, like somehow finding ways to steal their money. We're talking about some of the actions that different charities are taking that isn't completely upstanding. So the ludicrous headline this week comes from USA Today, and it reads... Some NFL player nonprofits often spend little on charity.
Oh. And how is the charity spending little on charity? That doesn't compute.
Yeah, well, so it's good to talk about this, right? A lot of America watched the Super Bowl last weekend. I heard it was a good game. I didn't watch it myself.
It was pretty good.
But even though football it's over for a while, we've still got to talk about some of the players who are running some pretty crummy charities. And the article calls out quarterback Russell Wilson in particular. Pretty big name. I've heard of him. His charity used less than a quarter of the proceeds to actually help the kids in need that they say that they're helping, right? And instead, much of that money went to pay massive salaries to his friends who are there at the top, who are running the charity. So this is news that we don't like to hear because, you know, while that charity, it sounds really great, right? But in reality, it's maybe not doing as much good as they're saying. So it's important to do your homework before donating to any organization, to any charity that's out there.
Yeah, I mean, just because a celebrity or an athlete endorses a charity or runs the charity, it doesn't mean that you should give them your hard-earned dollars. And I think maybe they're able to attract more eyeballs or more clout to their nonprofit because of their status, but it doesn't mean that that's where you should be giving your money. And it's not because we're not about giving money away. We love the idea of people giving their hard-earned dollars to other people who are in need and doing good with the money that they've been given, right?
Yeah, we've done multiple episodes on giving your money away.
Yes.
I don't know them off the top of my head, but we'll link to them in the show notes.
Sure. It's good for society, right? It's also good for you as an individual. It creates a healthy detachment from your money, we've always said, which is a good thing as opposed to becoming miserly, so focused on your wealth building efforts that you have an inability to look out and see who needs help in your hood or around the or even around the world, right? But we would suggest this. Turn to sites like Charity Navigator and Charity Watch to vet charities before you give your money away. Charity Watch lists their top-rated charities in a section, and it breaks them down by cause. And that's a great way, even if you're like, I don't know where to give my money away. That's a great way to learn about some of the great charities who are putting the bulk of your donations towards the cause that they care about. And sometimes the charities that you've heard about, the name brand charities, are doing great work with your funds, and the vast majority of that money is going to help people in need. Other times, the overhead costs are so large, like in the case of some of these NFL players running charities, that their mission is basically impotent. It's ineffective. And so we would say you should probably prioritize giving your money elsewhere. And by the way, on that note, the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, they just put out a warning about donating to earthquake relief efforts in Turkey and Syria. Again, you know, turning to the sites that we mentioned, we'll list in them in the show notes, are going to help you vet charities and find which ones are doing the most good so you can give your dollars there, as opposed to somebody posting on Facebook and then being like, yeah, I feel the tug at my heartstrings. Let me give there. It's great to feel the tug at your heartstrings, but make sure you know that your dollars are being given in a way that's effective so that you're not just like feeling good, but that you're actually doing good too. So yeah, of course, wants you to give your money away, but wants you to do it the right way. But Matt, let's get to kind of like a second ludicrous headline of the week. Normally we don't do this, but this one came from the Wall Street Journal and it kind of made the rounds on Twitter. A lot of people kind of mocking the Wall Street Journal over this headline, which was, to save money, maybe you should skip breakfast. I laughed out loud a little bit when I read it. And I guess my thought was, when I saw that, I was like, why stop there? Why not skip lunch and dinner too, okay? That'll help you save even more. It just feels like what the Wall Street Journal was saying in that headline was, why don't you starve yourself to keep some extra pennies in your pocket? And I know some people skip meals on purpose, right? You do the intermittent fasting thing a fair amount, right?
Occasionally, yeah.
So
sometimes I don't find myself needing breakfast personally.
And not everybody does, right? Some people like to pursue that path when it comes to like their meal intake. More power to you. Do your thing. But and counting calories is, of course, smart. But skipping meals, I would say, to save money feels a bit eccentric. And it felt like a kind of a paternalistic take from the Wall Street Journal. Maybe to save money, skip breakfast. Well, breakfast is not terribly expensive. Even with egg prices being up, it's not going to make a massive difference if you don't fry those two eggs up and eat them in the morning on your way out the door.
Sure. Well, I'll take a slightly different take, and maybe it is because I intermittent fasted a little bit. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, you like the headline.
a little bit because it depends on who the headline's coming from, right? And because it's coming from an individual who's like, yeah, maybe you should consider this. I'm like, all right, I think that's a decent headline. That's some decent advice for someone to consider. Like, there should be no stone unturned when it comes to different ways that you can save money. There are folks who might be under a mountain of debt and they aren't in a position to where they can earn more. And so what you got to start doing sometimes is looking at your different expenses. You are specifically calling out eggs.
Well, yeah, breakfast typically isn't the biggest line item.
No, but even still, like eggs, I would say if let's say 100% of Americans are eating eggs, then I would agree. And I would say that, like, yeah, there's a lot of nutrition packed into eggs, right? There's like an awesome amount of protein mm-hmm. and vitamins and all that. But the fact is, a ton of Americans are eating processed grains loaded with sugar.
If you're eating Fruity Pebbles, that's a different thing.
Honestly, like most cereals are this way. This is food that costs about the same as eggs. And if that's what you're eating, I mean, you probably could afford to skip out on those purchases and perhaps skipping a meal. But again, so the fact that this is presented as maybe personal finance piece of advice, I think that's fine. If now, let's say this came from the government, right? Like if this was Jerome Powell and he's at the Fed being like, oh, you're worried about inflation? Well, how about you skip multiple meals every single day? Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Quit whining about it.
That would be incredibly crappy advice because there are other issues, obviously, that they need to tackle. But as individuals, I think we should consider different
that the
things.
Government in many ways caused the inflation problem that we're experiencing too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. So I guess that's my take on it. I think, oh yeah, maybe for some folks, this could be just one of the small ways that they're able to modify their expenses.
Sure. And I think, yeah, if you are eating like some of the processed foods, they're typically more expensive and they're less healthy for you. So they're not going to...
Absolutely.
Like a bowl of Fruity Pebbles isn't going to get your day off to a great start in the same way that a couple of eggs would. And yeah, but we're actually going to talk more about groceries next week on the show, Matt. We're kind of in the middle of planning that episode now, but just like how you can save money at the grocery store and hopefully you don't find it necessary to skip meals in order to save money. But we want to discuss like the best advice for saving when you are at the grocery store. Is it coupons? Is it where you shop? We'll kind of talk about all that stuff next week.
That's right. Okay, so there was an interesting article in Business Insider this week about the different psychological tricks that get us all to click buy when we're shopping online. So basically, retailers, they are getting better at parting us from our money with different subtle hints that might push us over the edge. And different tactics like, obviously, buy now, pay later, that's a big one. That's obviously where you pay for something in the different installments. And specifically, that feels less painful. And that makes it easier to pull the trigger on purchases purchases that maybe we otherwise would not. Oftentimes, it increases the size of those purchases
instead
as well.
$100, it's $25 in four installments over 4 months. It's like, well, yeah, I can do that.
It's like, well, shoot, maybe I'll throw in that extra pair of socks or something.
We think of that as a dirty trick that you should avoid.
Yeah. But retailers are using some other tactics as well, like scarcity. That's where if you're maybe you're shopping a sale and they'll display next to, you know, you make your color selection, you make your size selection, and they're like, there's only two of these items left. You better move quickly. These are the kind of notifications that nudge us towards purchases.
Sherry in Wisconsin is going to get it before you. You better pounce.
What's funny is so last fall I was shopping for a rain jacket. Surprisingly, I didn't have a rain jacket and I was tired of arriving places on my bike, soaking wet, if I got caught in a rainstorm. And it went on sale, so I was like, okay, maybe I'll go ahead and make this purchase. And it had one of those things, it had one of those counters where it's just like, three items left, or something like that. And I was like, I'm not sure if I want to make this purchase. Waited till the next day, guess what?
26 items.
No, they were gone.
Oh, really?
I completely missed out on the sale. Yeah. And so I think in some instances, it can be accurate.
I don't think they're lying, but I do think it's a tactic to try to get you to pounce more quickly.
Totally, totally, yeah. And so I guess, yeah, exactly. I'm highlighting that to be like, well, it might be an accurate reading. And so if you know you want an item, maybe don't wait. But simultaneously, it can be helpful to institute some of those waiting periods, right? Yeah. Like folks, we always talk about like, all right, wait 24 hours, see if you still want it. In my case, I waited 24 hours, still wanted it, couldn't buy it on sale, or the item was actually gone. So I ended up, which again, no big deal. Instead of waiting 24 hours, I waited 2 months and the item came back on sale at another retailer.
That's something like you're never.
At which point I definitely had confirmed that I wanted that item.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, it may not be a bad thing to even miss out on deals because there are always going to be deals out there.
And there's always another, you know, similar item out there if you miss out on that one. But I think they get us to feel the pressure that we need to make a decision in the moment when you're right. If we would just wait, yeah, we might miss out on that item. It's possible, but it's at least going to ensure that we want the item and that we're not making a spur of the moment decision based on these psychological tricks that retailers are trying to institute.
Totally.
Makes me think of just the rampant emails that we get or even notifications because we've downloaded an app or something like that. And Nike's like, hey, buy these sneakers. They're 12% off right now. And you're like, 12% off? Okay. But it's really them pulling us in order to make kind of like a more emotional consumer decision as opposed to a well thought out one.
That's right. Yeah. So piggybacking on that, The Atlantic, they actually had an article this week about the myth of the informed consumer. And they said that the internet, how it was supposed to make us all more informed, making it easier to be a smart shopper, right? But that it hasn't actually worked out that way. And a lot of the reasons for that is like all the different paid ads on different sites like Amazon, right? It is confusing oftentimes to shop. And there's multiple ways that these brands are getting in front of you where it looks like organic results. There are a ton of different third-party sellers and products out there. There's an abundance of fake reviews. Like honestly, like the MSRP, like that feels like a thing of the past,
yeah.
Right? So it's just hard to figure out. It's hard to discern whether a sale is actually a sale or not. And it's becoming surprisingly harder to be a smart consumer, even in the age of price comparison being at our fingertips. And so, like we talked about this in the newsletter last week, we want folks to prioritize buying quality goods, not just the cheap ones. And so certainly take advantage of sales, but make sure that you are buying an item not just because of the sale, not just because it happens to be, you know, marketed well and it is in front of you, but because it's something A, that you need, but B, something that's quality. But then also you can use some of the different third party price tracking applications or software out there like Honey or Camel, which is always a fun one to say.
Yeah, well, that one's so interesting too because it shows you the actual data, the price history of an item, as opposed to seeing like, oh, it says it's 16% off. Is that a deal or not? Well, Camel will say, well, here's been the price over the past 30 days.
Yeah.
And so you can
Honey
say-
Honey does that too, where you can go in there and you can see the price
which
history.
Which is great. I think the price history is a better source of information than whatever percentage off the retailer's saying is, you know, they're giving you now.
Totally, yeah. And I mean, so that's the argument that the Atlantic was making. And on one hand, I completely agree with that. On the other hand, though, I don't want to discount the personal responsibility that we should have when it comes to spending our own dollars, right? Because truly, it is easier than ever with the internet at our fingertips to be able to hop from, like, you want to start off on Amazon, sure, but then go over to Walmart, and then go over to eBay and make the best
or
informed...
Do a Google shopping search, for sure.
Yes, yeah. Make an informed decision based on what it is that you are looking to buy. I think one of the problems is that retailers have also just made it so easy to make purchases. They've lowered the bar. They've lowered the threshold of what it takes to spend your money. And so the this is where the personal responsibility part comes in, because I think we're so, and I'm preaching to myself, like I oftentimes go on Amazon and I buy something because it's easy and I know what's going to happen, right? Like I don't even have to put the my address in. It just shows up automatically.
Like, do you just want to swipe your hand right here, right here at the bottom of the screen, right? And then
do they still have those buttons? They used to make those physical buttons where when you're getting low on something,
I think they did
wanted
away
to
with
make
them,
it so easy for you to spend your money. But fact is, spend that extra couple minutes and shop around and look to see if you actually are getting the best price.
Yeah.
Yes, the technology has improved and retailers are getting more sophisticated in how they're trying to sell stuff to you. Yeah. But we can also still use that technology to our advantage.
Sure. Yeah, you need to be aware that this is happening so that you can kind of avoid it. So you can unsubscribe from those emails, turn off those notifications, delete the app, whatever it is. Say, hey, no, I know you're trying to break into my brain barrier here and you want me to make a purchase. There's things I can do to kind of push that aside and stymie your efforts. But at the same time, you're right. Like, they're guinea pigs. We're not sitting ducks. Like, we have the ability as individuals to make some different choices and to do some searches and to delay our purchase so that we can make sure that that's something we really want, as opposed to like making that spur of the moment purchase. So it's
absolutely
kind of both and, right, on this front. So, but that's going to do it, Matt, for today's Friday Flight. We'll have the links from some of the resources that we mentioned on today's episode up on our site, as always, at howtomoney.com.
That's right. We've got a great Ask How to Money episode lined up for you here on Monday, so you can look forward to that. So until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health 8 kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health 8 Kombucha today.